Now I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how do you actually design a nested loop, a nice hypnotic storytelling intervention. You see, it's one thing knowing what the structure looks like and having a sequence of things you want to build into your stories. It's another thing entirely actually creating those stories and actually making them do what you want. Now, you'd be forgiven to think that creating a nested loop is a very linear process, a very logical process. You start with the first story, tell the second story, then you create the third story, and each time you try and weave in all the various things, the embedded commands, the emotional content, etc., that you want. The thing is, though, the unconscious mind doesn't work that way. The unconscious mind works in a much more holistic way, which means you have to start the story wherever your mind wants to begin. So when I start a new set of nested loops, the first thing that I do is I think about what is the big outcome? What is it you're trying to achieve with this? Because once you know what the outcome is, you give your unconscious mind basically the instruction of where to get to. The second thing I ask myself is, who is this intended for? Because once I know who it's intended for, I know it where they are beginning from. I know where they are starting from. I know the things that they know, the things that they don't know, the problems they typically face. These are all built into your understanding of who your audience is. So remember, nested loops are actually created for certain audiences at the same time as trying to achieve certain things. So now that I have my audience in mind, I have a starting point. Now that I have my purpose in mind, I have a finishing point, an end point. And the space in between is bridged with your stories. That is what they're designed to do. Now, once you know what those parameters are, you have a sense of what are the hurdles that you have to overcome. So when you know what your audience is, and you know what problems they typically face, maybe the excuses they make, maybe the emotional problems that they have on the way through, lack of motivation, fear, anxiety, doubt, whatever it happens to be. Now you can start specifically looking at those things, those problems, and using your stories to resolve them. Or at least using the stories to create the resources so that when you come to the actual point where you transform them, the actual suggestion bit in the beginning or the middle bit of the loops, that you can actually use that as a point of transformation. So by the time you finish all the stories off, you're actually using that as a chain that goes straight to the outcome you had in mind. Now, when it comes to the actual story design itself, you don't necessarily start with the first story and go all the way through to the last. You may do it that way, but it's been very rare that I've done that myself. So the first thing I do is I scan my mind and allow thoughts and ideas to come into mind, very much like the creativity exercise that you practice on CD7 when creating stories out of nothing. And I allow little snatches to come through. In other words, you might have a story that you heard from someone else, you might have a bit of your own experience, you might think of something that would be interesting to say in a sense of like a couple of choice words. You might want to write all these things down. These are your brainstorming phase. You've got to have your ideas on paper, or at least inside your mind for you to be able to use. Not all these ideas will actually make it into your final stories. In fact, typically, I'll write down a whole bunch of things first, and when I actually get to writing that stories, or at least creating the stories inside my mind, at least half, if not all, the things I wrote down will have disappeared because I have better ways of doing things. These are just a starting point. Now, when it comes to the actual stories, you have to do something with them as well. You have to be able to allow them to grow and evolve, and ideally be able to test them as individual stories on different people, if you have the time to do that, of course. Now, the stories themselves, I will typically, when I start, take whichever story I am most inspired by. And I can't emphasize this enough. Inspiration is the key to powerful storytelling. If you start a story because you know you should tell it, then it'll be half-hearted. You need to begin with whichever story captures your imagination the most, your inspiration the most. And then use that as the starting point. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to use that as the beginning of your nested loops. It might be the very last story. It might be the story in the middle. But you begin with that because it gets your unconscious mind and the whole creative process flowing. So let's say, for example, you start with the third stories out of a five-story sequence. You start that story and you run with it until you have a sense of where it's going, what you're doing with it, and you're putting in all the things you want to put in. Then you might think about, hang on a second, there's a story that needs to go before this. How can I lead into this story? Suddenly you have your second story in the sequence because the second story was inspired by that third story that you began with. The same is true of the beginning. The question you ask yourself then is how do I lead from nothing to leading this audience into wanting to listen to the second story? Again, that inspires your first story, your opening gambit. The same thing happens with your fourth and fifth story because you may be thinking of certain resources. Let's say with story one, you get the audience warmed up and hooked their attention. Let's say with story two, you begin the process of putting a few resources, embedding some suggestions, maybe even planting some seeds which will take fruit later on. Same happens with story three. You create a certain state, an emotional trigger, some more seeds for use later on. Story four might be a question of adding either more resources, more of these seeds, or you might start combining them to start using them already. Story five, again, may want to be using those things already, so by the time you get to the trance process bit in the middle, they're already ready for the changes that you're trying to create for them. The upshot of this whole thing is that designing stories, nested loops, is a creative process, which means you have to follow that creative loop. The best thing to do, if you have the time, is to create a bunch of stories, go to sleep, review them, add some more, change some more, go back to sleep again. Because every sleep cycle that you go through, you will actually allow your unconscious mind to work through those things more and more. If you don't have time to go to sleep, you may want to use self-hypnosis in order to be able to allow that point of creativity, that gestation to take place and allow your unconscious mind time to play those ideas through more and more. If you want to learn more about self-hypnosis, a simple way to do it is make yourself a tape. You're a conversational hypnotist now, so you may as well make yourself a tape which talks you through the process of relaxing and feeling good inside and having more creative ideas. Another thing you might do is you might want to come to one of my iMethod seminars. Go to imethodseminars.com, all one word, and you'll find out a lot more about how to use the power of your inner mind, but for yourself and on yourself. The main thing is that you give time and space to allow the creative process to take effect. Now, with experience, one of the things that'll happen is, the first thing that'll happen is you'll have a stock of stories that you like telling. You'll know them, you can rely on them, you can make them do different things, and you'll pull them out over and over again because they're very useful. The second thing you'll realize is that many of the stories, many of your best stories, will come to you in a flash of inspiration, just completely out of the blue. You'll be talking to someone, and suddenly you're in the middle of a story. You don't know how you got there, but you know it's a good one because you recognize all the pieces. And as you recognize that, you begin to layer more of the things you know how to do, the language, the tonalities, and all these other things. And then, of course, you want to remember that story to be able to use it again in the future. So these are the natural, spontaneous stories that will come through from time to time. Then what will happen is, with more experience, is you might even start coming up with nested loops on the fly, right there in the moment. Now, this is something that takes practice because your mind has to be able to learn to think in certain ways. You've got to create those tracks, those channels inside the mind so that you can filter the information straight into stories. And this is why CD7 was so important. CD7 gave you all the exercises you needed to in order to condition those channels inside your mind to create stories and to make them something which is natural for you to do, a natural way of thinking, a natural way of communicating for you. I would recommend that you go back and do those exercises again and again and again, even when you're good at them, or especially when you're good at them, because those exercises are the heart and soul of your ability to tell stories. They create the muscles. So it's like going to the gym. If you go to the gym, even though you're strong, you still have to work those muscles out to maintain the strength. I'm going to leave you with those thoughts on storytelling and the creative process. Just remember, it is a creative process. And you'll discover your own ways of proceeding, your own methodologies. It's important that you do that. Hopefully you'll have enough pieces here for you to be able to work out a way for you to do your own thing that works for you as an individual.